Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss and grin the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
All right, and welcome back to the latest edition of the Mountain West Connection Radio. Thanks for everybody who tuned in last time, all triple-digit listeners that we had last week.
Yeah, and our numbers keep steadily growing.
Yeah, so listen. We have our website, mwcconnection.com. Same for Twitter, mwcconnection. I'm Jeremy here. I run the ship for the most part. I got Chris, who's second in command. Does that work out for you?
Yes.
At least
just call me number two.
Sure. So, yeah, old, decade-old Austin Powers reference there, folks. But yeah, this is our podcast.
It's older than a decade now.
Hope you guys didn't, well, maybe. What year? I was in high school, so it's about 10 years old. At least the first one. Do we need to look it up on IMDb real quick?
I was about to say, I was in high school 10 years ago, so it had to have been later than that.
It was 99, wasn't it?
I think that was the second or third one. Yeah, if it's 98, that's longer than 10 years ago, my friend.
That's why I said it's more than 10 years. 1997, 15. The first one. Okay, there's your first off-topic reference of the show as we jump into Austin Powers history. With the number
and we'll
two.
Be producing number one hits later.
Yes, and hope everybody enjoyed our theme song. If you missed it last time, you heard it right there. So that was all Chris. And let's just begin. Week two. Let's put week one behind us. Far behind us.
I have already started. I have a beer in hand.
Already? Week two hasn't started.
It's never too early to tailgate.
Good point. Those noon Eastern kicks on the East Coast. Awesome. All right, so basically, we're just going to run it down like we normally do. Chronological order. Also, really quick, if you're listening to the show, people have asked, where do I find the show? If you're listening, you probably know. But in case you didn't know, you can hit us up on SoundCloud, which is awesome, because you can play it anywhere, the mobile app. It's perfect for tablet, mobile, phone, whatever.
This is your, like, back.
Thank you. I was wondering what that was. Go to iTunes, search Mountain West Connection. There might be three different versions, but look at the dates carefully, because I've set this up so many times. Or just Stitcher Radio, same thing. Our correct feed's on there, because they're awesome. So that's how you listen.
Or just go to the blog itself, find the next podcast coming up.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. But there's other people like to take it on the go, and sometimes they'd rather download it and save their data plan.
I'm all for that, you know, and it saves somewhere on their hard drive that they can listen to it later. And that means they, every time we do a podcast, they get a little piece of us every single time that they download.
All right, then. Awesome. So, well, we're going to make this quick, so I'm not going to mention what I was going to mention. Let's just get to the games. There's 11 games, one conference game. Let's go chronological order. First game is Tennessee Martin traveling to Boise State, the disappointing Boise State Broncos.
Yes. So, as we know, that
their offense is terrible.
Loss. Yeah, the offense is terrible. The defense didn't look too good. And so Tennessee Martin is an FCS school, which means that they should be easily able to dispatch them.
See week one.
Seeing that FCS schools were knocking off FBS schools left and right, going for 8 for 22.
E-dub beating up Oregon State.
Yep, pretty much. But we're back home. We're on the blue turf. Boise State hardly loses on the blue turf. They've definitely learned a lesson from last week. You know that Coach Pete isn't too happy. He had a press conference last week, and you know these players are going to work even harder. I'm expecting this to be a blowout.
Has he taken over calling duties from Brian Prince? Or what's his name? Ron Prince?
Yeah. No, not yet. I don't know.
If there's nobody in motion on the first play, I'm going to throw my computer, because this game's only on ESPN3, folks. So, yeah, I'm going to kick my computer if there's no motion in this game, because they need to move some players around. Because that was the biggest complaint I heard. No motion, no creativity. Let's do pistol 98% of the time.
Yeah.
And that was a joke.
I mean, that's... But was it? And it's...
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Do we even really have to, like, be talking about this? So we've already recapped the damn game enough.
No.
We've already seen what they're going to do.
The biggest news... biggest thing about Tennessee Martin, which is FCS, they do have a Favre on the court, on the roster.
What?
Yes, nephew of Brett Favre, Dylan Favre.
Okay.
And that's all I think about. They also play two quarterbacks, so they kind of will rotate, which hopefully that messes up them, and Boise can do fine. They rotate quarterbacks. This game, honestly, Boise should easily win. Our buddy Hank did an excellent preview already up today. So... The one thing that, just real quick for Martin, they have a good offensive line, returned 4 starters. However, their quarterbacks are being replaced. That's why they're the dual quarterbacks. They replaced their top 3 running backs and their top receiver. So all their offensive weapons from last year are gone. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Look, if this game is any less than 30 to nothing, and what I mean by 30 to nothing, I really mean like
60 to
anything
nothing.
Anything less than a 30-point victory, I will be severely disappointed, and reserve myself to them not even winning the Mountain Division.
I don't even know if they're going to win the Mountain Division anyways.
Yeah, this is true.
Just saying. They weren't. We'll get to this later on, but I don't know. Maybe not today, but we want to make this show about 45 minutes. But it's, I don't know, Utah State look good. Wyoming looks really good. There's a lot of good teams. Air Force, who knows what they could have going on. But really quick, one quick thing. Even though Tennessee Martin replaced their top running back, they did rush for almost 300 yards last week. And we saw what Bishop Shankey did against the Boise State defensive line, which looked pretty pedestrian. So that's probably the only concern. If they can get some good running game going, there could be a small issue. But there better not be.
There should be zero issues right now. Anymore. They should just dispatch.
They need to work out their issues. That's what they need to do.
This is the game to work out their kinks and to be dominant again.
Yes.
So that's all that needs to be said.
Moving on. The next game. Ugh. San Diego State traveling to the Horseshoe to play Ohio State. Can I redact my comment of this being an upset?
I think you're allowed to do that. Although Ohio State didn't exactly look strong against Buffalo, however, we've already said San Diego State already got beat down by Eastern Illinois. So therefore, this game
Adam Dingwell had 4 interceptions. They threw the ball 60 something times, I believe, way too many. They just had when you lose Adam Wayman in the first half and there's nobody else to have a threat in the backfield. I'm not sure why they still didn't try to run the ball. But quick question for you. I saw this over at Land Grant Holy Land there. I was reading some stuff up on them about the game. I know you're familiar with Rocky Long. Do you think he's a good coach?
Fine.
Okay, let's put it in perspective. He coached well at New Mexico, correct?
Yes.
He took them to a bowl game, first time ever. And they were, I'm not sure how much you follow the Mountain West before Boise's in there, but they had some pretty good teams.
Yeah, right? They did.
They weren't great. They're always competitive. Because there are some commenter in there who's done a San Diego State grad, and the reason Rocky Long is any good because all the recruits and up-coaching Brady Hoke did.
No.
Hoke was there for 2 years.
And New Mexico was always competitive with BYU and Utah in the Mountain West, and that was before TCU came in.
Yeah.
Rocky Long, I think, in my personal opinion, by my standards, Rocky Long is a decent coach.
I'd say
he's not quite to the level of good.
Above average.
He's above average. Yeah. He's decent.
And the thing is, this commenter's like, they've done nothing, but if you go by, because I got asked questions specifically, because there's a little Q&A up on our site about us getting to know Ohio State. The other way around. There's going to be questions on their side, answer for them. They asked me about, what about that 3-3-5 defense and everything, or what does he have up against Urban Meyer? Well, first off, that 3-3-5 is what TCU did, but they do it much better with Gary Patterson. Like, they'll want a lot of athletes on the field, a lot of speed, which I made a quick joke about them needing speed in Ohio State, but compared to the SEC, one of those funny things that never gets old, at least to me. But when he played against Utah, he beat Utah in 2003 when they went 10-2. And he was, and their defense held Utah to 28 points in 04 when they smoked everybody by about 4 touchdowns. And they're averaging like 40 points a game, almost. So, yeah, I think he knows what he's doing against Urban Meyer in that offense. And there's obviously a talent discrepancy going to Ohio State compared to even that Utah team. There's some good talent in 04, but nothing overly spectacular, in my opinion. Alex Smith, the quarterback, a few Steve Savoy, a couple good receivers and some running backs, but nothing great like Braxton Miller that they have. And so I'm like, no, he knows what he's doing. So he'll have a game plan set because he's faced it before. But this will still be a very difficult game. And I think Ohio State's, a 4-touchdown favorite in this game? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think it's... I just asked that question because I was wondering, like, they say he's a crappy coach and Rocky, and what's his name? Brady Hoke did everything to get San Diego State good. Doesn't he know Rocky Long was there with Brady Hoke for at least one season, I believe, maybe two?
Yeah. And, I mean, throw in the fact, Brady Hoke was a good coach. And those recruits, I would say that most of them are, you know, they're juniors or seniors, but, hey, he's got enough younger guys playing for him now. And once again, you're talking about that season that Rocky Long spent under Brady Hoke before then. Rocky Long was part of that recruiting process.
And some of the players Hoke brought in were from before.
Yeah.
They were from the prior staff, too. So it's like, come on.
Now, throw in the fact, I mean, right now, maybe the loss of motivation, maybe they were looking ahead to Ohio State. I have no clue what the loss brought. But if they were looking ahead to Ohio State and suffered a loss last week, well, then you better get your rear together and do perform your absolute best versus Ohio State, because a performance like last week, that's going to be a 60-0 loss.
But here's the thing. That shouldn't happen, because at halftime, they were losing 19-16. They should have been aware in that second half. They should have been ready in that second quarter. They allow 12 straight points, 2 straight touchdowns. The PATs were blocked or missed by Eastern Illinois. But they should have been made aware. And then they end the half kicking a 22-yard field goal, which is basically getting a goal line stopped by the goal line by an FCS school. They can't run it up the gut. A 22-yard field goal is, the 2-yard line or something? Just extremely close. 5-yard line, yeah, somewhere about there. But still, like, you can't punch it in. They should have been ready for it. But here's an awesome stat. I'm trying to find it really quick over at Bill Connolly Football Study Hall. I think they did... half of their passes were knocked down. I believe, if that's correct, over 50% of their passes were knocked down. Like the ones Adam Dingwall threw. They got a hand on them on half of them.
And they had
4 picks, which is... I figured with Dingwall, he came in a year early. He played 6 games last year after Ryan Katz broke his ankle. you figured, okay, he's in there half a year early, but there is still a challenge during the offseason. Spring camp. Starter wasn't named until early in fall camp, if I recall. At minimum, through spring and summer, I think it was still a competition. You think that six games would have given him the edge to do something, and then look what he does. He threw pretty good to the receivers last week. He had a couple of guys like Colin Lockett. He spread it around to 9 different receivers. But I just don't know why they threw the ball 60 plus times. I don't care if Adam Wema is out for the game. You have other running backs to at least attempt to throw the ball.
Yeah. Once again, you're playing an FCS school. This is the time to mess around with some of your offenses.
A little bit.
Try a few things, and you know. But yeah, let's move on. There's not much more. This is going to be a slaughterhouse 7.
Well, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, because they're going to be.
Not so fast, my friend. Okay.
Yeah, Lee Corso here. No, I don't think they're going to win. I think they can keep it close. Because do you really think they're that bad? San Diego State. Do you think...
lost 40-19 to an FCS school. I know, yes, but... I do think they're that bad.
Okay. Here's the thing. Adam Williams is expected to be back. They're going to be more balanced on offense. They're not going to pass as many times. They need the offensive line to actually be semi good. I don't know, you might be right, but I just think they can't be any worse. Which isn't saying much if you're not gonna be much worse.
Okay, so if you can't be any worse, then swing another 21 points and it's a 42 point loss.
I just think that they're already be motivated for playing Ohio State because they're playing at Ohio State. I just think they're gonna be too prideful to get beat as bad as they did last week. And then coupled in, Rocky Long does decent job against these type of offenses. And so that's kind of, I think they'll at least, it's 24 points, we're going to cover that. I think it'll be kind of like when Air Force played Michigan last year, close for a half, and then they'll slowly pull away at the end and win by 20, like 18 points or something. That's what I think what will happen.
I think Ohio State's going to cover.
All right, let's move on then.
Utah State Air Force.
Conference game.
Conference game, first conference game of the year.
All right, let's make this quick. So Utah State's never faced, or at least in a long time, has faced this type of offense, triple option. Air Force is going to be without, I assume it's a torn ACL, Cale Pearson. He put on Instagram that doesn't look good. He's likely out for the year. So they bring in a lovely sophomore backup, as I pull up his name here. But they're going to have a new quarterback. And here's the thing. Air Force quarterback should run the ball pretty well, correct? Is it usually a staple of their offense, a quarterback getting about 80 yards a game almost on the ground?
I believe so.
Well, folks, Jahlil, if I could say his name correctly, Jahlil Awani is going to be starting the rest of the way. All right, he was sacked once, but he played about half the game. So 2 carries minus 3 yards. One was a sack. The rush is actually 15 yards. And he only threw 2 or 3 times. It could have been they're playing Colgate. However, he should still be tucking the ball in and running more often than not. Because that's what the offense does.
And actually, one of the strongest points of Utah State's defense, at least from one game, they only gave up 148 yards rushing to Utah. They only averaged 3.4 yards a carry. So this is a team that does have a very strong front 7.
And their linebackers are probably the best in the league, at least.
Right. So, I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of holes plug up very quickly. I mean, Air Force is still going to get their 250, 300 yards rushing. That's a given. That's got their whole offense.
Limit the big play capability.
But I think, the big play is going to be limited. Chucky Keaton will throw for over 75% again.
Yeah, the offense will be good. I'm more concerned about the defense. Offense will be fine because Air Force defense hasn't been good in a long time. And they don't have, like, Anthony Davis Jr. and these guys in the backfield, I think, is Anthony Wright as well. They had All-American DB a couple years ago, or at least a couple good ones. The main thing they need to do is limit the Air Force yards per carry. So let them get 2 yards, 4 yards, even 5 yards every now and then. But push them to 3rd and 5 and beyond. And make him throw the ball with this new quarterback who hasn't played until last week. If they can somehow do that, which they can. It's like I say this every year when I talk about Air Force or every game or if I talk to somebody new about it. You got to play. Your one guy plays this position the entire time. So like if you're the nose tackle on defense or nose guard or whatever. Yeah, Utah State does the 3-4. So there's the 4 linebackers. You got the nose tackle down. You have to stupid nose guard has to, not stupid, but just the big guy takes up space. He has to hit the fullback every time, no matter what happens. Go after the fullback. Because the one time he's like, they never give it to the fullback. The one time he'll take a step to the side and go after the quarterback or the running back, or bites, doesn't go for the fullback, but goes after something else. They'll hand off the fullback and it'll rumble up the middle for 10 to 12 yards. Same thing on the end. If you're playing the defensive end spot, you got to stick with your guy. If you're taking the running back, take him, knock him down every time. Don't take a sidestep to go after the quarterback or follow the fake pitch, because you'll get beat for 20 to 40 to 50 yards on the running game. So that's what Utah State needs to do. But then Air Force, they need to mix it up, because Utah State's never seen this before, or at least has not very often.
Right. I think we're going to see like what we saw a couple of years ago when Air Force came to Boise. They're going to give Utah State a hard time, but I think Utah State is more than capable of just dispatching Air Force.
Yeah, I think it'll be like kind of a slow grind, because Air Force will keep it close. They'll want to hold on to the ball, because that's their main key, time of possession. That's kind of the main thing. If they'll hold the ball for 40 minutes, and that's how they do well, by not allowing their smaller, slower defense to get on the field. And
yeah, but I mean, even if Air Force wins time of possession, even if that's their game, once again, explosive, you know, offense. Chucky Keaton has more than an opportunity to score in under 2 minutes, and we did see that last half or last game. So, I mean, let them have their time of possession. Let them have their, you know, high yardage, slow the offense down, score the touchdowns through the ground attack. But I still think Utah State's bend don't break defense, and their offense is just, it's going to overwhelm Air Force.
Yeah, I think they can go quick enough to do that. Like, they have the speed, at least versus Utah. They, anytime they get a first down, they're lined up going right away. I think Air Force is, well, that's backwards saying. Utah State's going to win, but it'll be 20, something where it's like maybe 10 or 12 points or 14 points. It won't be a blowout, because Air Force rarely gets blown out. And like you said, that Boise game, when they played the first time last year or 2 years ago, they struggled for a bit. Or just look at New Mexico last year in Boise State. That new pistol offense, they ran all over Boise for the most part. So Utah State's going to win. Pretty convincingly, because I still think Air Force is not as good as they have been the past couple years.
Yeah, I think they're going to cover the spread.
What is the spread? Do you have it in front of you?
I do not have it in front of me.
I have it here in just 1 second. Let me. It opened at 6.5. It shockingly increased to 9.5.
Yeah, no, I believe that. Yeah, they'll cover it.
It's interesting. They should. I think it'll be close. I think 10 points, so that's about right for how people have been playing the lines. All right, so next game. We move on from Utah State. Idaho heading to Laramie. Idaho's just bad.
We need
to make a t-shirt that has the milk carton that says, "Miss," like something where Idaho's missing. Have you seen my offense, or have you seen this team? Because you gotta kind of feel bad for them. They have a new head coach. They're playing an independent schedule for 1 year. They have 8 road games. They only have 4 home games. Like, oh, it's ridiculous.
And they won't even sell out those 4 home games.
They have 5 home games. Excuse me.
They won't sell out those.
Do you think Fresno fans will head to Moscow?
No.
I'm just saying, it's not terribly far.
Boise fans didn't even want to head to Moscow. And there was a significant number of them there when we still had our rivalry.
Oh yeah, you're one of the few that consider that a rivalry. Gotcha.
It is a rivalry. I don't care if it is a 12-game winning streak and they decided to end it. It is a rivalry. They will be my number one rivals for them to the day that I die.
Okay, I'm going to go off topic here really quick. Just for a second, because I went to ESPN's bottom 10. And it's usually pretty good. Mark Slaybuck does a good job with that. Who would you say should be higher, meaning lower, as the number one worst team out of the bottom 10? UNLV or San Diego State?
UNLV.
Why?
Diego State. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I mean, higher as in the worst. Like, the number out of the top 10, number one is the worst team.
Who is the worst team in college football between UNLV and San Diego State right now?
Yeah.
San Diego State.
Obviously. But for some reason, I just went there really quick to see where Idaho's at. Idaho's surprisingly number six. Here's doesn't make sense. Oregon State's number five, who we'll discuss later when they play Hawaii. But yet, San Diego State's number nine, but they got beat worse by an FCS school. That makes no sense. Whatever. But as for this game, Idaho played North Texas last week. They got off to a 6-0 start. Without looking, do you even know the final score of that game?
It was 48-13, I think.
No, 40 to 6. So Idaho did score the first touchdown, but then they went proceeded 40 to
under
40 unanswered points. They gave up 404.
Remember
passes.
That word that I invented last week that I really didn't invent?
Improbable or something like that.
No, horboffle.
For waffle.
Horboffle.
Okay. That's that what Idaho is for waffle.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
They're horrible and awful. They're horrible.
There's not much to take. There you go. I am trying to get some more intel on Idaho from the folks at Vandal Nation, so we'll see what I can dig up from them. But here's the thing. Brett Smith will go crazy in this game because North Texas, who's not supposed to be very good in Conference USA, threw for over 400 yards. So, yeah, Brett Smith is pretty good.
I'm going to play a game with you. I assume you haven't looked at the spread yet, so I'm going to go ahead and play a game with you.
I have not yet.
What? Okay, what is the spread for this game? How much is Wyoming favored by?
17.
No. I'll give you an
higher
over
or lower.
I'll give you an under over or under. Nope. Is it over or under 23?
It's got to be under.
No.
Oh, what?
Wyoming opened up as a 23 point favorite. It has now moved to 28.
Wow. I don't know what to say to that because we know Wyoming's improved, but I guess when North Texas wins by that much, like, come on, where's the home field advantage at the Kimmy Dome? They can't even stick the camera behind one of the goalposts for the shot from there. Wyoming's going to win.
Yeah.
Easily. There's nothing to say. Idaho fans, I'm sorry, but you're almost an FCS school for getting kicked out of, well, not kicked out of whack, but not finding a home.
You should have been FCS.
You're in the big sky for everything else. It's just the thing is, you get so much more money even if you're a bottom feeder in the FBS.
You guys were talking about going to the big sky and, like, too arrogant to join the big sky. Well, guess what? There's Eastern Washington in the big sky. There is,
a lot of good schools. There's Cal Poly.
Montana, Cal Poly.
Northern Colorado has been okay. Weber State had a good couple years ago. They're not too bad.
Idaho team would
Montana,
be
Montana
half
State,
of the big sky.
Notably. Montana, Montana State, national title winners.
This Idaho team would be in the lower half of the Big Sky Conference.
But didn't the Big Sky not want them for football because it'd be uneven or something?
The Big Sky wanted them.
They did want them. Okay, I wasn't sure of that. Okay.
They were willing to accept them.
Willing.
But they didn't want the independent football schedule with all the rest of the conference teams moving to the Big Sky.
Well, I thought for a minute they had North Dakota State, but no, that's just North Dakota.
No. No. Yeah. 28 points. I will take the 28 points.
The thing is, too, they have 13 teams. 14 would have been better. Because that's what they have right now. They added a few teams. What was it? And also, didn't Portland State make the playoffs FCS last year or a couple years ago?
Couple of years ago.
They had good teams. There's some good. Northern Arizona beat UNLV recently. Cal Poly beat.
That wasn't saying much.
What?
I said that wasn't saying much.
I'm just saying. And Cal Poly, didn't they beat Wyoming last year and Colorado a couple years ago?
Yeah, and Cal Poly made the semifinals of the playoffs last year, as did Eastern Washington.
I think the main thing is if they drop down, I think the reason they didn't want to is because of cutting too many sports. Because even if you're the worst team in FBS, you're still going to make a heck of a lot more money than you are if you're in the FCS, the best team.
Right now, they don't deserve the money that they make at FBS level.
Hey, they're still there.
Yeah.
Wyoming wins big.
Anyway.
Wyoming's win big. That's all we got. So, CSU-Tulsa. This is a – I'm calling this a winnable game now for Colorado State. Tulsa looked after
Tulsa got manhandled.
Awful against Bowling Green. Most people assume like Bowling Green Tulsa should be like a MAC conference game. Tulsa will put up 20, 30, 40, 50 points.
Yeah, and people have known Tulsa from the past. They've been a good, solid 8 to 10 win team, you know, consistently for the past 5 years.
Scoring a lot of points.
And high powered offense. The fact that Bowling Green just decimated them, I just. I don't know. What do you say to this?
I don't know. It's just weird because, like I said, Tulsa's offense, they were known like doing the spread attack, the high octane thing before it got super popular. Like they're in the old 16 team WAC slinging the ball around like those days against BYU, Fresno, Hawaii, all those type of teams. And now they go to this because they were, okay, they lost this week, but they're expected to compete for the Conference USA title. So,
apparently Vegas still has confidence in them.
They have them winning? Maybe winning?
10-point spread favorite to Tulsa.
Okay, Colorado State didn't look that good, but come on.
I think this game is going to be much closer. I didn't get to see the Colorado State-Colorado game.
I saw a little bit. Also, Colorado, they did lose Donald Alexander early on. And he's not going to be playing either of this game. It's just a hand injury, but they're not really sure. Or at least they're not saying what's exactly
going on. It's not a hand injury.
Well, it's not a broken bone. So maybe, I don't know, if you don't have a broken bone, is it just swollen that bad? Because
it's just twisted really badly.
Think about it. If you have a wrist or arm, unless you have a really bad contusion, what else would really keep you out for a short period of time? If you tear a tendon, you're gone for the year.
I mean, I'm thinking actually, like, I'm thinking it could be a bad twist. And the reason why I say this is because a few weeks ago, I was playing soccer, and one of the members of our team, we thought she had dislocated her knee, and it really was just, when she went to the doctors and everything like that, it was just an extremely bad twist. And a month later, she's still having a hard time walking.
Interesting.
So, twisted whatever... whether in your bone or joint or muscle, whatever, can really mess you up. So it could be something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Do they specify in the injury report?
No, they just mentioned, I have it right here, of what Jim McGoin said. Let me pull it up here. Okay, no, it's not surgically. It doesn't need surgery. It's a hand injury, an actual hand injury. But he doesn't need any type of surgery that'll keep him out for the remainder of the season. It's from Jim McGoin. Here's what it exactly says. I don't know when we'll get him back. The good thing is it doesn't look like it's going to be surgical, so the tendons did not get severed as originally thought. So it's a tendon injury, it looks like. So that can last a while. So that could be like what you're describing there, a little bit like you. It could have been, I'm assuming it sounds like it's more of a wrist type of thing because your tendons gets connected right there. So that's what it could be. But they should be fine at running back because, well, like I said last week, Chris Nwoke, we're not really excited about him anymore.
Nope.
I was always against him, not personally, but to perform well. But then last year, at the end of the season, he did pretty good. But I'm all for Capri Bibbs to step up and do what he did better than last week. Because he had 70 yards and 2 touchdowns against Colorado. The only reason they kind of kept it close was because of him. So if he does okay in running the ball, Garrett Grayson, he got the start. He did okay. And I assume he's going to be playing again. But Colorado State, they do get, let me look up, we do have some injury info on the Rams here. Don Alexander. They get a receiver back. I'm spacing on his name really quick. Let's see. Yeah, Charles Lovett, leading receiver from last year, will be in the game. I believe he did not play last week. If I should have done research before the show, but it's late and I did not, so deal with it.
Yeah, you guys think that we spend all day doing these research for these games, everything like that. No, we're just... We do the podcast late at night when we're both tired.
And tonight's even more late. No, here's what it is. Joe Hansley, receiver gone, ankle injury. That's correct. Charles Lovett will be back. He bruised his knee during fall camp. So he should be. Not for certain, but should be. If he's in the game, that will obviously help Garrett Grayson and help everything move more smoothly. But I think about Tulsa really quick. They brought back a ton of offense. So they brought back Trey Watts and Jeterian Douglas. Combined for over 2,000 yards rushing and 350 receiving yards. And then they also have a receiver, Jordan James. Last year, 1,000 yards, 76 receptions. Kyaris Garrett, 909 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns, 74 catches. So what the heck did Bowling Green do on defense to stop this? Or has Bill Blankenship just gone nuts and doesn't know what he's doing anymore as a head coach?
I don't know. I don't know. So then let's just pick. Let's pick this. Win or loss?
I'm going to go Tulsa's going to rebound and be fine and take care of this game. Because CSU gave up, yes, Paul Richardson's very good for Colorado, very fast, beat them deep. Here's the thing, Colorado State got beat on multiple deep passes. And with Tulsa, assuming their playmakers are back and that game was just a hiccup, I think they could run away with this game easily.
You think that they're going to cover the 10 points?
Yeah, I think Tulsa's going to win, and it's not going to be all that close.
Okay.
Just based off history. If we go by last week, yeah, CSU has a chance. But I just don't see Tulsa. I don't know what happened to Tulsa. Maybe I'm just going off history and not, and I should take more stock to week one. But I just don't think they're that bad.
All right.
Let's move quickly. We're taking a little too long on this.
Yeah.
35 minutes. Okay, Hawaii, Oregon State. Oregon State was ranked. We also might be mentioning where these games are at on TV, but check our website. We have a post up of where to find the games on TV. We'll continue going forward in my fake bad announcer voice there. This game, 8 Eastern,
you may Pac-12. Find post on TV. this game will be on the Pac-12 Network at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time.
2 p.m. Hawaii time.
2 p.m. Hawaii
time. Or Hawaii time.
Advantage, right. Oregon State.
Yeah, Oregon State should. Are they still going with Sean Mannion at quarterback, or is Cody Vaz taking over yet?
I think they're going to – I don't know.
I'm looking too. I'm trying to see what they
do. All I know is
There's a big controversy about who's going to start.
While you're looking for that, Hawaii's defense looked good against USC, and maybe that was just the island weather. But,
not the running game.
It wasn't the running game. And when have you known Hawaii to have a good running game anyway?
True, but also USC was missing their top two running backs.
True, but they were holding the passing game. And Hawaii's front line looked physical with USC's offensive line. They were pushing around that front offensive line. That's why I'm thinking. I don't think Hawaii's got a chance to win this game at all. And that's even with Oregon State losing to an FCS Eastern Washington. Remember, Eastern Washington has been good in recent years. I think they're what's going to happen.
Team last year, and I was at the. I actually saw them play Oregon State at BYU. And BYU's defense was the top three defense, and they tore them apart.
Yeah.
With Cody Vaz, who was the backup last year for part of the season.
And so, I think Hawaii's biggest problem in this game is really going to be Taylor Graham. You cannot survive another 4-interception game.
Yeah, it also, that reminder, that was his very first college start. He went to Ohio State, never played, redshirted, transferred when Braxton Miller is clearly the guy there. Came to Hawaii, you would think Norm Chow would get something done. But also, Hawaii was missing Billy Ray Stutzman, who is more than likely still going to be out with that concussion from a one-car collision back fall camp, I believe. And then also, but they are possibly getting back running back, what's his name? I can never say it right. Joey Asafa, I believe, correctly. He missed last game with a opening game with an injury, some sort of fractured ankle, I believe. And he might be back, but their running game was awful as well. Nothing went right for Hawaiian offense. That was defense was a pleasant surprise, but yet, look who was throwing the ball. USC's quarterback situation is just awful. Max Wittig and Cody Kessler, they're nothing. Compared to Oregon State, which has Cody Vaz, Sean Mannion, who did very well last year, and they still put up 46 points last Saturday in the loss. So they could score points, and USC's just awful.
I still think Hawaii is going to cover the spread, though.
What is the spread? Let me guess. Hold on. Did you already say it and I not listen to it?
No, I didn't say it yet.
Is it 24 points?
That's what it opened up at. Opened up at 24.5. Where is it now?
Give me a clue. Up or down? Up or down?
Up.
Oh, 26.
Close. It was 27.
I was going to say 27.
I don't know what the heck is going on with these Vegas odds guys.
It is Joey Osafa, the running back. So he had a fractured foot. He's traveling, not sure his plane status.
You know, it's one of those things that it's going to be – I think Hawaii's going to cover. I think we're going to see more offense than last time. I think, however, Oregon State's going to take care of business, and they're not going to lose a second game at home, especially after that was what was a humiliating loss last week.
Yeah, I agree.
This is going to be a revenge game.
Yeah, this is what they'll do that. But I do think Hawaii can maybe cover. If they get Joe Issafa back, and he's even if he's on the field, because he didn't do great last year at about 650 total passing and receiving, about 450 receiving or running category. So he's a kind of a multi-threat guy. But they got to just protect Graham, because not only was he intercepted four times, he got sacked three or four times as well.
For pressured, minus 34 yards.
Yeah, pressured a lot. So if they can get a little protection, the thing is, the offensive line shouldn't have been that bad. They brought back multiple starters from last year's team. However, I think, and two of them had more than 10 starts. Two others did not. So they're fairly experienced, but I don't know. I think they'll cover, but I say the offense will be better. They'll still lose by about 20 points, I think. Because, like I said, Oregon State's going to want to just cream somebody after that embarrassing loss.
Yeah, I'm going to say they're going to lose by 18.
Okay. Next game, where should we go next?
Football Bob!
Lobos of New Mexico are playing
to UTEP.
If you have Fox College Sports, you're one of four people in the country that do so. That's where this game is seen, 8 Eastern. You got UTEP, who is this now a former rival, you believe?
I think it's still a rivalry.
Rival. Okay, UTEP has not yet played a game. However, there's the big hubbub about them having, I should know the name, but former Texas A&M quarterback finally eligible here. And if I can find his name, let me head over to the good folks at MinorRush.com.
While you're doing that, this game opens up at UTEP at a 6-point advantage, which is surprising after New Mexico.
Is it?
Yeah. And New Mexico failed to be productive on offense last week. Things that really need to happen. The touchdowns have to come. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Cole Gauchy did okay last week. He didn't do great. He didn't even do okay. He was 4 for 12, but 65 yards. But that's the kind of offense that they run.
But he didn't even run the ball very well either. Oh, no, he did. It was Casey.
No, he ran the ball fine. 16 carries for 118 yards.
Sorry,
no,
I forget. Carrier.
It was Casey Carrier who was surprisingly bad last game.
And this is against UTSA, who's, this is their third year in Division I football?
Yeah.
And so it's like, come on, I don't get it. I guess our curse really here. We'll see after this week if our curse is going anywhere, if it has any legs to it. I'm trying to find a name here, but I think you're right. I don't know. I guess Gauchy's not throwing the ball too well, which he can go 4 for 7. But come on, you got to do something. You know what I mean? At least pretend to be able to throw the ball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, he pretended. But his quarterback rating was 106.
How is that possible?
When you have one touchdown, zero interceptions, only 12 attempts.
Wait, what was his, what was he, 4 for?
12.
Yeah, 4 for 12. Jeez.
33%, but it was for 65 yards.
Okay, here's the quarterback catch, Jamil Showers. That's what it is. I knew it was something like that.
Sorry, wrong. That was 49.1. I don't know where the hell the 103 came in. I was looking at ESPN. Thanks, ESPN.
Of course. So they do. Oh, great. Did my computer just die? Hope not.
Yes.
I'm recording over here, but if you can hear me, let's double check our. Still good. Still good. Just making sure I thought my computer froze. No, but Jamil Showers, Texas A&M transfer, looking for his first game back in a couple. I don't even think he really played at A&M, but he. A solid quarterback who UTEP hasn't really had a good quarterback. Didn't they have Carson Palmer's younger brother there at UTEP?
Yeah.
And UTEP has been known for, there's that game versus Houston a couple years ago where it was, 50-45 or something like that.
Yeah.
Where they did.
though, that New Mexico's defense, yeah, they gave up 25 points, but they contributed 6 points on offense. So, you know, and this is what they did last year. This is one of the biggest things about Bob Davey football, is that when they produce turnovers, they typically produce touchdowns off the turnovers, usually in the same play.
That would be nice if they're to do so.
So, you know, I think the defense has to take control of this game. Because whatever's going on offense, Casey Carrier needs to get his act together. Otherwise, they're going to be in trouble.
Well, I just think they need to get the offense better in general, because their defense isn't good enough to win them games.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though. The defense might need to lead the team, but they need Carrier to do something, because I don't know where last week's performance came from.
You know what Football Bob needs?
What?
Fullbacks.
Does he have any fullbacks on the roster?
Probably not.
But the pistol, you don't really use a fullback, though.
Then get out of the pistol! Well, Bob Davey coached at Notre Dame.
But
you only play mansome football at Notre Dame.
Well,
that means you usually have one or maybe more fullbacks at a time. And you ground out the game, the running game, and that's how you score touchdowns.
Well, but don't you know who their offensive coordinator is?
Aaron Price, right? No.
That was the guy who Hawaii who left.
That was the guy who left Hawaii.
No, it's the guy from Sam Houston State from 2 years ago.
That's right.
They're in the. I don't have his name memorized, but he played at same coach at Sam Houston State, ran the pistol, ran a spread, fast paced attack. Because we know Bob Davey's not known for that. But they're not gonna have a fullback, but get a tight end or motion. Because does Nevada have any fullbacks? No, not really. They'll stick a tight end in motion, but they whatever it is, they see.
You can kind of think of Vaitaua. Kind of was built like a fullback.
But yeah, he wasn't a fullback. He's a little bit bigger guy. Yeah, that's. I was kind of thinking of him as too. He's kind of hit past history of Nevada.
He's fullback-ish.
Yeah,
maybe you need a fullback-ish person in the pistol, like a .45 caliber.
Okay, no, that's a good. I'm trying to think of something witty, but I'm tired at the moment, so I'm like, we'll go with that. So, okay, let's just go. Who's gonna win?
Football Bob.
I don't know, man. I just don't know anything about UTEP.
It's not a stupid upset pick.
No, it's not. All we know is that they have the transfer from A&M. They have a new head coach, Sean Kugler. Kugler. And he is a UTEP guy, if that makes anything. And here's the thing. Kugler, Kugler was on the Boise State coaching staff?
Yes, that's where I remember the name. I want to say he was...
offensive line coach.
Yeah.
I
remember that. That was 2008, I think.
2006. He left in 06 to go to the Buffalo Bills. Hold on a second. Let's read this correctly here. Steelers. This is old. He went to the NFL. That's all I'm really going to say about that. He went to the NFL after being at Boise State. So, been to college, been NFL, UTEP dude. But UTEP wasn't very good last year. That's why Price was fired. Obviously, if you don't do good, you're gonna get kicked off, get released. Here's the thing: they do bring back all their running backs, like Nathan Jeffrey, 900 yards. They bring back their experience at a receiver at skill position. That's where I think New Mexico's defense, like you said earlier, needs to step it up. They bring back three offense linemen who have more than 10 starts. Two have more than 20. So their offense should be a typical UTEP offense. So I don't know what happened last year with this team. They gave up or just bad quarterback play. I think they can put up some points. I'm going to go UTEP to get this win. Because just based on the experience they have at the offensive skill positions. And so I'm going to go with that. You know these teams have played about 75 times?
I did not know that.
I just found that out recently looking around. So
stop cheating.
Well, I'm doing research during the show, stuff we should do beforehand and prepare better.
All right, anyway.
UC Davis, Nevada. Nevada wins, moving on.
Yeah, especially since UC Davis blew their opening game to... we were debating about Coyotes last week? Yes, UC Davis lost 10-7 to the University of South Dakota Coyotes.
We were talking about Coyotes last week. I don't recall that conversation. And that was only 2 days ago, I think. It was Wednesday. We recorded Monday.
Maybe not last podcast, but the podcast before.
Okay.
It was the last 7 days where we talked about whether any FPS teams have the name of Kyle.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I do recall. I don't recall why, but I do remember.
Because UTSA is the Roadrunner.
I'll just believe you and move on. I kind of recall, but I don't recall why. All right, next game, Cal Poly Fresno State. It's on ESPN3, folks. So that's good for folks who have that. It's at 7.
Draft game.
Continue.
Oh, Cal Poly, good team, good FCS team. Fresno State looked good versus Rutgers. However,
on offense.
On offense.
don't get confused. They look good.
Cal Poly absolutely dominated University of San Diego last week, 38-16, which means nothing in FCS terms. But we know that Cal Poly beat Wyoming last year as well. So they're more than capable of beating an FCS team. And being that they are ranked in the top 25 in the FCS, this is a team to be concerned about.
And also because we saw what Fresno gave up in their running game last week.
Yeah.
Cal Poly can actually run the ball a little bit. They actually have a guy, Christian Ivory, who's pretty good. He had 185 against San Diego. And it is against University of San Diego. But still, anytime
running. But still, 185 yards.
13 yards per carry.
Yeah.
He did have a long of 81 yards. But if you take that away, 13 for 104, still almost 10 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean,
they can move the ball.
Fresno State needs to be aware of the explosive play in this game. And do they have a bye week after next week?
Fresno State? I'm checking right now. Area.
No, they play Colorado. So they could be preparing for Colorado, and this can definitely be...
Why? They won like 60-0 last year against Colorado.
Yeah, but Colorado beat Colorado State.
You're not making me think otherwise.
Okay, fine. Be that way.
All right, so this game's a win. Easy. Oh, man.
Should be. Once again, we thought games that were FCS games last week should have been easy wins. You can never tell this year. It's like the reincarnation of 2000X.
But I think most teams that happen, like even at University of Utah, I mean, not hearing around here, they play Weber State. Kyle Whittingham's going, look what happened to all these teams that won. A ranked team lost. They're saying it's not just... like, there's Maine versus UMass this week. UMass is still FBS, but pretty new. That's not an upset, really, Maine over UMass.
No, that's not going to be an upset.
It's not one of those type of things where it's like a bad team like Idaho or New Mexico State or New Mexico or even Wyoming, who's not that good, losing to Cal Poly.
Oregon State. I will tell you, though, I'm not comfortable with Fresno State on the cover.
What is the line? There's a line for this game?
Yeah.
What is it, like 30 points?
27.
Maybe. It's still pretty high. Plus, I don't think they'll just run up the score. They'll just want to get a comfortable lead and kind of coast like San Jose State did. I see them winning by 3 touchdowns, something like maybe 30-10 or something around there, where they'll get up big and not really force it too much.
I think Cal Poly is going to make more of a game than you think.
Okay, we'll see. Next game, Arizona at UNLV. The game was almost not at UNLV.
The game was almost at the University of Phoenix Stadium.
About a good 80-minute drive from Tucson. But it's in Sam Boyd. It's on CBS Sports Network. Late tip, or kickoff. It's not basketball yet. That'd be a good basketball matchup, though.
That would be a good basketball matchup. 7:30 p.m.
Pacific time.
The line opened up at Arizona -13. Where's the spread right now?
Let me refresh here. That's got to be more.
No.
It is.
So, is it higher or lower?
No, where did you look? Cause I see open at 17 on Vegas Insider, but
I'm on Oddshark.
Oh, that's probably maybe a composite, but right now 10.5.
It is. It's at 10.5.
Dropped a touchdown in favor of UNLV,
which is weird, considering that. Well, once again, it boils back down to the 4 plays that we saw of UNLV, and maybe once again this is Vegas saying, "Hey, these guys could be better than what we thought."
Well, they do have some good talent. Everybody knows, we mention these guys every week. Tim Cornette, Nick Sherry, Devontae Davis. Offensive line's experienced. The running back who's from Northwestern, I forget his name, but he's the back.
And the defense was holding against Minnesota.
Yeah. Not that that's too impressive, but still, you're still holding. Compared, I guess, historically to what they do. Yeah, good job. But here's the thing. We don't know much about Arizona. We do know they have... well, obviously what Rich Rod does, he wants to go fast and move the ball. They won 35-0, but they play Northern Arizona. They only here's the thing, too. I don't know what they're trying to do over there, but they only threw the ball 13 times for 87 yards.
Yeah, which was very un-Arizona-like.
And even running the ball, okay, they did get 306, but one there's three runs that are combined for almost 200 yards. They had a 91-yarder with Daniel Jenkins, and he almost had 200, but half of that was one run. So they got the big plays, which is a concern for what UNLV did. There was the one quarterback, I think is an option player quarterback, designed run, went almost 50 yards for that touchdown. So they need to stop the big plays. But this is weird for Arizona to only throw the ball that many times and for that many yards. And this is a quarterback. This isn't who did they have last year? Was it Mike Scott? Something?
Matt Scott.
He wasn't really the guy Rich Rod would want in there. He wasn't going to run around too much, more of a guy who sits back there and throw. And they did pretty good last year. But the guy they have now is more of who they'd want in there.
Averaging only 6.7 yards per attempt. I mean, this is...
But he did run. He's a runner, 71 yards in his score.
True, but 30 of those yards came, like you said, over half those yards came on one run. UNLV might... I'm not going to pick the upset here. I think that would kind of be stupid. But I think UNLV is going to make it closer than what we seem if they can stay out of trouble. If special teams can...
And turnovers, because Arizona picked off Northern three times.
Yeah.
And here's a stat for you, too. Arizona had the ball for just 19 minutes and 44 seconds.
Well, they kept, you know what? Okay.
It was big plays. Only take about 10 seconds. Touchdowns. Yeah.
Okay. 91-yard touchdown run.
Pick six.
30-yard touchdown run. Pick six. 61-yard touchdown run. These are all big play scores. And when you have three interceptions, you play with the shortened field. You're not going to have the ball very long.
Still, I just think maybe that's why the yardage is lower. But even so, figure they pass for a bit more. But I don't think UNLV can win. But if they're going to, they got to stop Denker in the passing game and Daniel Jenkins and slow down the running attack and just give the ball to Tim Cornette. Do the opposite. They went to the pass first and to the run. Run Cornette first and then get guys in the passing game, Devontae Davis in the passing game going.
Well, and this is what you were talking. What this is what the Minnesota guys were talking about on the hangout last week.
Yeah, they're asking me.
Was you know on. Completely opposite of what you're familiar with. I think you do get Tim Cornette to run the down the throat more in this game, and the backup running back. I think that I'm going to go ahead and say this. UNLV is going to cover.
You think they'll 10.5 they'll cover? Does the home field give you any confidence? Okay, no, hold on. Will there be at least 50% Arizona fans at this game?
Yes.
Okay, 60%.
Las Vegas has a lot of Arizona graduates.
And it's not terribly far either, isn't it? Within 6-hour drive or something?
It's a 7-hour drive.
No, I thought it was a bit closer, but okay. I think, because it's like when when Wisconsin went to Sam Boyd, they had nearly more than half. Or the stadium field.
Wisconsin Jacob told tends us, to travel, though.
I remember
like, whiskey fans, if it's in a warm area, they tend to travel.
I'd want to, too.
It's like going to a Padres game and getting all Philly fans there for when Philadelphia comes to town.
Or Yankee fans or something.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the guy's name we forget. It's Shaquille Murray-Lawrence. That's the running back for UNLV, the backup we keep forgetting, who actually had more yards than Cornette running the ball. But
with less of the carries.
Well, yeah, 64-yard run. But still, they get those guys involved. They might have a chance if they can if their defense can step up and not give up dumb plays. They might have a chance. But I think I'll switch and go with it. I think they'll cover. I think it'll be about a touchdown game. But Arizona getting the win.
Yeah, 3-7 for me.
And then the super big game I'd like to see, but I can't because I don't have the Pac-12 network. Maybe you could by this weekend.
Maybe. If the deal ever gets signed.
It's technically done. I don't know what they're waiting on. But San Jose State at Stanford, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Pac-12 Network. It's so late. If you recall last year, this was a close, was it 27-21 or something like that last year, pretty close?
Yeah, it was 20-17 last year, I believe.
Yeah, let me get exact score here. Yeah, 20-17. And people are like, oh, San Jose State, what is this? Stanford must be awful. No, the opposite. Oh,
Stanford was very good. Yes. San Jose State was just really good as well.
Very good as well.
And hey, oh, San Jose State haters on the website who, you know, keep arguing with us on Twitter and, you know, keep making comments who say, oh, why do you have San Jose State, you know, ranked so low even though they walloped on their FCS team? Well, guess what? Here's your chance to prove it.
And also,
you're 26 points underdogs.
They are?
Yeah.
What? That's ridiculous.
It's gone from 20 to 26 points.
That,
there's your chip on your shoulder, Spartan fans.
Here's the reason I would have ranked him. I just retweeted some guy. I'm like, oh, those are similar to mine. You guys go know nothing. You're terrible. If I were doing power rankings, which I need to do because I screwed up last week, I would stick San Jose State near the bottom because he beat a crappy FCS school. I would stick San Diego State number 12 of 12 because he got their butt handed to him by Eastern Illinois. I go by kind of who you play, not what should go on. And so I'd stick, well, I mean, even though they lost, or Utah State, they lost probably top four, each of those schools, easily.
Yeah, and on paper, once again, on paper, the box score didn't look that great for San Jose State. They took care of business. They beat down Sac State 24-0, but...
They didn't need to, but still, I would have been nice to put up 30 points at least.
Yeah, but you know what? This is the game where you can prove that you are a top team in the Mountain West. Make this another 20-17 game. Or, better yet, go into Palo Alto and beat the damn Cardinal.
Yes, beat the tree. Their crappy mascot of a tree that's like a five-year-old cut it out of felt for their kindergarten project.
I don't like Stanford.
And here's the thing, too, about last week. Okay, David Fells should be his great quarterback, which we think he is. He only completed 50% of his passes. Yeah, he had two touchdowns, threw for 225. Not bad. But why are you completing only 50% of your passes?
You know, was last week another look-ahead game?
Probably.
So you kind of half-hearted it? Well, you got the win, but if you were looking ahead to this week, guess what? Now here's your chance to shine. And furthermore, I will go ahead and make this my stupid upset pick of the week.
I would like a reasoning for that, please.
You would like a reasoning. Okay, yes. First of all, we do not know how good Stanford's going to be this year.
They should be good. They're ranked.
We presume that they should be very good.
What are they, top five right now?
Yeah. They're ranked in the top five, but they haven't played a game yet.
But here's what we know about Stanford. They'll have a great offensive line. They should have a quarterback play, should be okay.
Basically, they're going to have 11 tight ends.
Yeah. I remember reading somewhere, I think it was Spencer, going, they'll be the first team with 8 tight ends on the field, but still line up in a legal formation with 11 guys and score a touchdown every play. Something like those lines.
Yeah, the problem is we haven't seen them play a game yet.
We know they're good. We know they're going to compete with Oregon, or maybe better than Oregon. But I want to see what San Jose can do with Ron Carragher. They do actually have a running game now with Jason Simpson, who put up 135 against Sac State. Again, Sac State, so whatever. Take from whatever you want from that. But still, they need a running game to go with an old Grisby who didn't even lead them in receiving last week.
Yeah, which is, you know what? That's, in a lot of ways, that should be good because of the fact that, you know, they're keeping Grigsby under wraps. They're keeping him not necessarily fresh, but they're trying to target other wide receivers so that, you know, Grigsby will still be used as the big strike. For Stanford, Josh Nunes should be the starter.
No, he's gone. It's Kevin Hogan.
Oh, it's Kevin Hogan?
Yes, Nunes is great. There's the battle last year between who should start between the two.
Then this database depth chart that I'm looking at is completely wrong.
Where are you looking at?
Rivals.
Why? Look at the date. Some of those are from 2008, man. Why aren't you using the website I emailed you to use with the password?
Because I'm not on my email right now.
I sent it like 3 days ago, man. Come on. And right. I sent it in the preseason. Get your crap together.
I've got papers due tomorrow.
Kidding. No, it's Kevin Hogan, and he's...
Hey, you know what? Don't give me that.
I'm just messing with you. I just blast. I always, like, all rivals will have good stuff. They're up to date on those things, and half the sites are not.
Okay, this is of the Stanford Daily depth chart.
What?
Hogan is the starting quarterback. It is at tailback. It's either Anthony Wilkerson or Tyler Gaffney. So David Shaw is playing the Chris Peterson game. he says the two seniors will lead the team's running back by committee. I don't know what the hell that means.
Split carries, obviously. Denver Broncos system.
Maybe.
But their offensive lines, where they're huge, like they senior, they have 2 5th-year guys on the line and 2 other seniors.
This is the thing that scares me for Stanford. 11 of 12 starters on defense are returning.
Yep, and their defense was probably solid last year without looking it up because we don't look things up on the show. I'm assuming since they won the Pac-12, they had a pretty good defense last year. No, but seriously, San Jose State, they need to – we don't know much about them, and we don't know much about Stanford out of going by last year and preview projections and who's going to start, injuries, and all that good stuff. So I – it's what do we say it was again? A 10-point for favorite for San – no.
No, 26.
Oh, sorry, 26. I'm thinking the game before. 26, no way.
26 points.
Not a chance that's going to – Stanford's going to get that.
No, no.
I know San Jose State's been terrible forever, but they have talent this year.
I'm telling you, it's my stupid upset pick.
Go for it. I want to go with you on this, but I'm not sure if I should.
Have everybody mad at us. Have them, like, winning the whole game and then lose on a missed field goal.
Bot snap. Do a Tony Romo or something. Oh, man. They're going to cover at least. Is that too... not good to say, at least cover.
Yeah, no, they're going to cover.
You want me to say win or loss, don't you?
I want you to say win or loss.
Okay, Stanford's defense last year.
Wait.
So how come when I go to the Pac-12 total defense from last year, I only get 10 teams showing up? Oh, 2013. No, sorry. My mistake. I'm on 2013. That's why.
Sorry.
Yeah, last year Stanford had the number one defense in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And you said they return 11 of those starters?
Yeah.
San Jose State's going to cover. That's all I'm going to say. I would love them to win. They could. It's just hard to predict this game. I was going to say they're going to cover and leave it at that. I think it'll be a good competitive game. And, well, I do think if... because Stanford's passing game, Kevin, they had to switch the room with Kevin Hogan and Josh Nunes last year, kind of debating who was going to do what. So that's maybe... depends if Hogan's gotten any better, maybe. But I'm just still going to go. Stanford's going to win a close game, but it's easy cover.
I'm still going. I'm not changing.
Okay. No, that's perfectly fine. Make your stupid upset pick of the week.
Good.
Do you have anything else you'd like to mention?
If you guys have any ideas... for any other possible theme songs, email them to me, because, you know, while one theme song is good and while this is an epic theme song, others, to keep it fresh and just change it seasonally, might be good as well.
Yes, we'd like to do that. And what's your email so people know? Or how would you like them to get that out?
I would like them to go to my profile, the masthead of our website, www.m3cconnection.com.
I have a better idea. How about you follow Chris on Twitter, Greek Padre, and direct message him?
Yeah, or that.
That's
or
a much easier
even,
way.
Or not,
to...
even, or not even direct message me. Take it, say it out loud.
Yeah, just send them a message.
Stream it to the world.
Yeah, definitely do that. So hopefully this week's better than last week, and we're just going to leave it at that. And yeah, I want... they're going to be much better this week, so I'm glad everybody endured this hour show, which we didn't want it to be an hour, but hey, it's college football, so we'll do what we want, and have a great weekend and enjoy your Saturday.